Very honored to be in front of you on Friday. But the reason why I'm here is because of her, and the reason why I do the work that I do is because who she was and what she taught us. And so, you know, for me, it's the way I learn, you know, I guess religion and the gospel from others was through action, as you saw it in the video. There's a lot of people that preach and pray 24 hours a day. In my own faith, a lot of people do that, and it's common, but a lot of times that's all they do. I grew up among other people that taught me about faith, that it doesn't do any good if you don't put it in action. And I've been here several times throughout the years, and I've seen, and I've walked, and I marched, and I protested among with you. So for me, it's an honor to be here with you. You know, I feel really happy and comfortable to be here among you. So I wanted to share a little bit about my life as a little boy in Tijuana, and then, you know, I'll share some stories as I go. But, you know, you heard in the video how we worked, and as a little boy, you know, walking the streets and then going out to the dumps along with my brothers and my relatives to collect, you know, materials that we could turn around and sell so we could eat that day. And but, you know, one of the, I guess, craziest things, I guess I could say that, and funny things is that my grandparents didn't have much, but they were right at the border in Tijuana. So a lot of the families knew that my grandpa was there and that he was kind enough to let them stay with them at least for a day or even a year until they could come across across the border for a better life. And again, my grandpa didn't have enough for us, but somehow he was able to feed whoever came to share a meal. And one of the things that he always said, you know, if you don't have any food, at least share a glass of water or add some water to your sopa, to your soup. And so that's what we learned. My mom, you know, she didn't go to school. I think she only went to about first grade. And so she didn't know how to read or write. And she learned as an adult. And she was never able to help me with my homework. She was never able to read me a book. She didn't learn how to drive until she was older. In California, we would be walking the streets everywhere we would go, it'd be walking. We would be pushing a grocery cart like you see a lot of our brothers and sisters here in the community. You know, if we went to wash our clothing or if we went shopping, it was walking. You know, here when we moved into Washington, we kind of started in Tijuana, but my mom was the only one that was born here in the U.S. We were born in Mexico, and my mom was born here in the United States. So, you know, she would cross the border on a daily basis to find work. I remember her pulling me by my hand. We would go around the community, and she would knock on doors to see if somebody would give her a job, even for a few hours or a day, washing clothing or cleaning houses. And so that's what I remember from my mom. My mom worked many hours, and we didn't get to see her often, maybe on Sundays, because she would leave sometimes work to cross the border, because it took a lot of hours to come across. So a lot of times, you know, we spent a lot of times with my grandparents and my aunts, and so again, we didn't see my mom so much. When we moved here into this gadget, and that's been over 40 some years ago, there wasn't too many Hispanic families, maybe 50 at the most, and we knew all of the families. And one of the things that I remember from my mom is like, she was like the first social worker and with no education, and she knew where the resources were. And but one of the things that she done is like she was operating, a shelter, homeless shelter, a soup kitchen, and just about everything that you could imagine. She was bringing in homeless that she would find out in the community. The last time that we lived at home, in some ways, is that we were living in a one-bedroom apartment. And my mom showed up with a family of 12, and we were already struggling, to live in one bedroom apartment. And so she shows up with 12, and we were literally sleeping right next to each other on the floor. And my brothers and sisters, they were upset before, but this kind of said, we can't take it anymore. So within a month, all my brothers and sisters took off into different directions. We were old enough to survive, I guess. And that's who my mom was, that she didn't care, what they looked like, what faith or any. She didn't ask questions. She just brought people in. So that's a little bit where I come from, how I learn about about my faith, but also about giving to others. I lived it, so as a little boy, to be able to share with others what we had. When we came here to Skagit, we were really poor. My mom was a single mom. On top of everything, she was a single mom, so she worked many jobs, and a lot of times she didn't have enough money to pay the rent, so we would be kicked out of that house or apartment. And so here we go again. We would either go live with the relatives, or she would find another apartment. And so same routine, a few months later we would be kicked out again. And we kind of settle in one of the homes here on West Side. And at that time, we started getting, I think they had started Spanish Mass here in the community. And one of the priests became attached to my family, and he knew what we were going through. And he would come around to bring us food, or to bring us, I'm sure, money to pay the bills and stuff. And, I was very shy growing up. I didn't associate with too many people, kind of stayed by myself. I would probably had a lot of pain and grief with what I was going through, but I couldn't share with anybody. And I remember spending a lot of time in the restroom, just asking God why, why. But I also asked him, what am I good for? I didn't know that I was good for anything, but that was a question that I always had. Why am I here? Come and grab my hand, guide me, and tell me what to do. And so Father Miguel, as he was coming to our home on a weekly basis, one day he asked, could you come and visit other families? And I want to introduce you to our brothers and sisters that are just arrived from California. So we would go out to the migrant camps. Do you guys recognize any of those cabins or any of the housing? Mm-hmm. So some of them don't. In some places, like in Eastern Washington, that's another thing that we advocated and fought for, is that people were living literally, they would put the apple boxes together and they put a piece of plastic over it to keep dry. It's bad. It was bad here, but it's worse in other places. But the idea of Father Miguel taking us to the migrant camps is to see how people were doing. And many times, we would find people with just what they were wearing, no blankets, no extra clothing, no food. And I remember one time that when he took me to the migrant camps, is that, he only maybe had 10 bags of food for some of the families that needed it the most. And of course there was hundreds of people in some of those migrant camps, and some were worse in worse situations than others. And One, we would go around and, you know, welcome them into the community, but that would give us like an insight because some of them, you know, they would open door and we were able to see, you know, what conditions they were in. And we noticed that they didn't have any food or blankets. And the priest would say, you know, we're going to walk around, but come by the car when we're done and we'll have something for you. The word got around, and so by the time we got to the car, there was 50 families, you know, at least 50 families searching and grabbing, you know, the food and stuff. And so the priest would get really mad, and he would slam the trunk of his car, and he said, I'll never come back here again. And so next week we were there, and the week after, and but he passed away. He passed away, and I didn't have a clue of... you know, how to continue his work, or, you know, how to fundraise, how to find resources for the community. And when he passed away, it was like a miracle. You know, communities and other people wanted to see his work continue. And, you know, they started talking to me and donating, and we were able to continue with his work. And then at the same time, the YMP, the mission work that you guys saw with the youth, it was, they started fundraising in their communities, and then they would come here for a week at a time. We had like 12, 14 groups that would show up, you know, different weeks, and they would do fundraising, and or they would bring us food. And that's how we were able to start the food bank by the work of the youth. And, you know, and so a little bit about the food bank, you know, it was... So we were open like just the summers, then we started opening once a month, and then we went to a weekly, you know, food bank. But again, it was really hard to find the food, and but thanks to a lot of, you know, other churches, small organizations that provided to the food bank, that's the way we were able to keep the food bank going. I run the food bank for nearly 30 years, and but right before COVID, I was asked by Catholic Community Services if I would go work with them. And you know, the food bank and the migrant ministry and everything that I'd done, it was really close to my heart, and it was really hard for me to leave what I was doing. But they pulled me in with a promise that I would be able to do more and to help others, and more and to work within many other programs that they have. And that's how they pulled me in, and I guess in many ways that we're lucky that my wife, she was always with me, you know, for all those years, and she knew how to do the work, but she didn't think she would be able to do it. We knew that she could. And so my wife ended up, nobody was brave enough to apply. And so my wife said, well, they offered the job to her. And so she ended up taking the job. And she took the job just before COVID hit. And as you know, it was some of the hardest times we've ever had in the world. But in our community, you know, we were having a hard time providing food for 200 families. When COVID hit, you know, we were close to 2,500 families. You know, we don't know how we done it to this day. Our community came through, and you know, other resources came in, and you know, semis would show up on a weekly basis to provide for all of our brothers and sisters. And you know, again, people like yourself would show up to volunteer or to donate. And so that's been a little bit of what our life has been like, you know, with Catholic Community Services. You know, Donna was part of that. And so we challenged the CCS and the church to open an immigration office. And the first office that we had, Donna ran it. And but the funding came from the youth. I think they raised like $10,000. And then we challenge other organizations, and that's how we were able to operate that immigration. And it was one of first of its kind here in the area, and probably throughout the state. That office continues to be there. We run shelters and farm worker housing. I get to advocate. I learn a lot from you, from you know, my brothers and sisters from the community, to care for the least among us. If it takes us to advocate, to protest locally or nationally, I've learned to do that through your support. And you know, my wife doesn't talk much, but she's a lot more into action than I am. And you know, she's blocked the streets in Seattle among mostly ladies. They chained themselves in front of the federal buildings. You know, when there was a lot of immigration situations going on, when they were going around our communities, arresting people, mistreating people. And, you know, it's things that I've learned from other people to put their faith in action. And so I am who I am, I guess, because of you and, you know, people that I came across that has taught me the way. So, you know, so even as shy and maybe thought that I wasn't worthy for anything, I have learned and I've been encouraged by a lot of people that have given me the tools to be able to continue to do the work that I'm doing. My hope and my dream is, and I think it's taking place, that young people like the ones that you saw in the video, is that we could transform them at an early age so they could follow in all of our footsteps. You know, for some of us came late, for others, you know, they started when they were young, and I've seen how their lives have been transformed. Some of them, they've been to Africa, to Mexico, to be in missions, or even to run organizations making a difference throughout the world. I love the words that you have there. You know, to me, it's a lot on how I try to apply life. I feel very comfortable being among you. And one of the things that I get asked a lot, how can I get involved? What can I do to make a difference? And, you know, I could always ask for money, or I could always ask for many things. But usually what my wife and I have said all the time is, come and see it for yourself. Come and be with us. And then wherever your heart will take you, you'll find the answer. And, you know, the food bank is run by a lot of volunteers. I used to be halftime at the food bank, and somehow we managed to run the programs. So that was part of my commitment, but I also run like Hispanic ministry, migrant ministry, and then I also was in charge of the youth ministry, you know, through half of the state. I work with different churches to do retreats and experiences for the kids. So again, if you want to learn more about the ministry that we do, come and see us. I'll be here for the coffee hour, but I'll be here with you if you have any questions. But again, come and see us.